Well, good morning, and praise the Lord. It's a blessing to see you here at the Lord's house today. Can everybody hear me all right? Hear good? Okay, just want to make sure. Well, for those of you I didn't get to meet last week, I'm Hunter McLean. I'm the new pastor here at Mars Hill, and I count it a joy and a privilege to be here with you at the Lord's house. Will you go with me to the Lord in prayer, and afterwards join with me in the Lord's prayer together? Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this wonderful morning that you've given us here today, Lord, to come and gather together as you tell us to, Lord, to assemble as your people here at your house, Lord. We thank you for the capability to continue doing this, Lord. And be with us today, Lord, where you promised in your word that when we gather together here, Lord, that you're with us in the very midst of us. And we thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, as this pestilence surrounds us, this plague that's all around us, Lord, all around this country, this state, this county, all around this world, Lord, and we're trusting you to watch over us and take care of us, Lord. And we're asking you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to heal those that has this virus, Lord, and to keep us all safe from it, Lord. And heal all the sick around us, Lord. There's so much sickness around us. In these mortal bodies, Lord, we can always remember that they're temporary. But when we pass away to the heavens, we'll be with you for all eternity. Oh, Father God, Lord, bring healing to those around us that's sick, Lord, in the physical body. Lord, heal those that's having problems mentally, Lord. And most of all, heal all those around us that's sick spiritually, Lord, that has a sin-sick soul, Lord, that only the blood of Jesus can save, Lord. Only the blood of Jesus, thy Son, Jesus Christ, that shed on the cross of Calvary, Lord, can redeem us. And we thank you, Lord, for that redemption. Bless each and every one of these wonderful people here. Let's gather together, Lord. May we all depart here in the peace that passeth all understanding, Lord, guarding our hearts and our minds in the knowledge of you alone, our Savior. Father God, we thank you, Lord. And we end with the prayer that you taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans. I get my glasses. Here we go. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, the Lord tells us there, beginning in verse 1, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And to deal with sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. For this reason the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if the Christ is in you, through the body, is dead in sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through His Spirit that dwells in you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Help us to glean from it, Lord, and that we may hide it in our hearts, that we may not sin against Thee. Give me the words that to say this morning, and bless us all to hear your word. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. We come here to the book of Romans here. In the first verse it says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." He says that there is therefore now, right now, this very second, if we are in Christ Jesus, if we put our faith in Him, if we're saved by the grace of God, He says there, right now, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We're not condemned. The Bible talks about the sea of forgetfulness where our transgressions are passed, thrown away into. The Bible talks about God's redeeming love. I'll remember thy sins no more. Gone, washed clean, though our sins are scarlet, we're now whiter than snow, cleansed by the blood of Jesus. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you sit here this morning and you're in Christ Jesus, you're saved by the grace of God, there's no condemnation. No matter what's happened in the past, no matter what's going on, God is a redeemer and there's no condemnation. So often we'll want to walk in ourselves. We'll want to walk in condemnation. We don't have to, because we're saved by the grace of God. We can walk in the purifying power and the redeeming power of the Holy Spirit through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says there in verse 2, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death." We stood condemned before the law of God. The law of God says, "Thou shalt not," and "thou shalt." He says what we ought to do and what we ought not to do. He tells us. But every one of us here, every person in the entire world has broken the law of God. We stand guilty. It doesn't matter all the righteous deeds we have. They're filthy rags to God without the blood of Jesus, because we're all lawbreakers. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned and transgressed against the law. But praise God, He loved us anyways. We give God more reasons to not love us, but never once does He consider it. He loves us all. He loves the whole world forevermore. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. We stood before the law of God condemned, deserving of hell, deserving of nothing more. But when we deserve that, God, rich in mercy, came down and sent Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, to die on the cross for our transgressions. Not only did He die for our sin, but He did more than that. He gave us His righteousness. He gave us the Holy Spirit to live and dwell with us for eternity. The law of the Spirit, there it is, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living God. It's not some dead spirit, it's the Holy Spirit, the third person in the Trinity, God Almighty in the Spirit, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus and Him alone has set you free from the law of sin and death. We don't have to stand condemned and walk in condemnation of wickedness and sin. We don't stand condemned before the law of God anymore. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, who redeems us, we need to remember that and live by it. Lord, thank you for saving me. Lord, help us to live for Him. We're set free. We're not bound by any chains. We don't have to be bound by anything. We're set free by God. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. Me, you, none of us could ever, never in a million years, never with all the gold in the world, we could never earn our salvation. We could never be good enough to be entering into the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't matter how many good deeds we do, how many wonderful things. If we gave all our money to the poor, everything, it will never add up. It will never be good enough to go to heaven, because we've transgressed the law. But praise God, when Jesus died on the cross, He who knew no sin became sin on our behalf. He took our sin from us and gave us His righteousness. For God has done. He did it. I couldn't earn mine. I couldn't get my salvation on my own. Only by Jesus Christ. Opening the door to heaven, He says, if I be lifted up and He is lifted up on the cross, I will draw all men, all women, unto me. He's open for all people to come unto Him. And He bids us come, everyone to come. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do. The law couldn't do it. We couldn't save ourselves by obedience to the law. But by trusting in Him as Savior, then we can start walking with the Lord. He opens that up free. It's a free choice for all who will come unto God. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. Notice here it says in the likeness of sinful flesh, not in sinful flesh. Jesus Christ never once sinned. The Bible tells us He was in every way tempted, yet found without sin. Never once did He sin. Never entertained a thought of sin. The Bible talks about the devil tempting Him. And how did Jesus defeat Him? By the Word of God. He said, it is written every time. Jesus was tempted more ways than we could ever imagine. I'll never be tempted every way there ever is, and neither will you. But Jesus Christ was, and He was found without sin. Never once did He sin. By sending His own Son, that's Jesus, in the likeness of sinful flesh. In the likeness, He was in a mortal body as ours, as we celebrate at Christmas time, when Jesus was born at the virgin birth. He was in the likeness of sinful flesh. He was in a mortal body like ours. Jesus got hungry. It talks about He ate. He walked around this world. Jesus slept sometimes. He was in a mortal body, eternal God, Bible says in John chapter 1 that all things were created through him and by him. Not anything was created without Jesus. He was eternal with the Father before all time. And he came down in the likeness of sinful flesh in a mortal body and to deal with sin. That was Jesus' purpose. He came down here to deal with sin because God is a holy God. He's a righteous God, eternally righteous. Jesus had to come down to deal with sin because God is so holy, God is so righteous. Sin couldn't just be winked at. It couldn't be just swept under the rug like it was nothing. Sin is what nailed our Savior to the tree because nothing else could do it. He did the only thing to save us. He says there, he condemned sin in the flesh so that the just requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. The just requirement, the wages of sin is death. We all deserve the death penalty in eternal hell, but Jesus paid that price for us so we can walk in newness of life. He says there, so that the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us. The requirement of punishment was fulfilled by Jesus Christ on the cross, his finished work of Calvary. But now the other requirement, that's the thou shalt not. The punishment was paid for by Jesus. What thou shalt, what shall we do? What are we going to do for the Lord? The just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's he say? Who walked not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walk according to the Spirit. Live by the Spirit, the Bible tells us over and over. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. It's all about walking by the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, the Holy Spirit of God enters in our heart and dwells with us, in all riches forevermore. He's with us in our hearts to show us the way, to guide us. Walk according to the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of flesh, the Bible tells us. He says there, the just requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. It's a choice we have to make every day as children of God. What are we going to follow? How are we going to walk? I love that picture it's saying, walk. We're going somewhere. We're not stagnant. We're not sitting around doing nothing. We're walking with the Lord. He walks with me and he talks with me. Like that old hymn says, we're walking with the Lord. If you're not walking with the Lord, you're sitting down and you're not growing in the Spirit. Grow in grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior, the Bible bids us. Lord, help us to do that. He says there, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit, walking with the Lord, not walking in the flesh. As we go on to our heavenly home, the New Jerusalem, we're just temporary residents here in this world. Heaven and earth will pass away, the Bible says. Heaven itself will be no more. Earth will be no more, but there'll be a new heaven and a new earth. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 21 and 22, it talks about the new heavens and new earths. The wonderful, glorious home, that's our home. It says there will be no darkness there, no weeping nor pining, and most of all there will be no sin there, no wickedness. And God himself will be there, and there will be no darkness there, for the throne room of God will be our light. He's there with us, and that is our eternal home. We're just walking through this world temporarily. He says there, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. What are we fixing our minds on? The Bible says fix our minds on Jesus Christ. He says, whatever is lovely, whatever is true, fix your minds on these things. Fix our minds on the Word of God. God wants us, like we said in prayer a second ago, I have hid thy words in my heart that I might not sin against thee, the Bible tells us. We want to take this book right here, God's holy word, and hide it in our hearts by reading it, by studying it. So when there's something going on in our lives, God can bring that to our mind. We want it hidden in our hearts. Before we can get down here, it's got to get up here. We got to read it. We got to listen. We got to study. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, the Bible tells us. He says there, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. What kind of thoughts are you allowing in your mind? If you're setting your mind on the things of the flesh, then you will be walking according to the flesh. That's what the Bible teaches us. What we set our minds on will result in our actions. It will result in our walk where we're going. If we want to do this just requirement of the law by following the Holy Spirit, walking according to the Spirit, we got to be careful what we allow in our minds, the kind of music we listen to, the kind of programming we have. We got to be careful what we allow in our minds. What are we fixing our minds on? He says there, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Every day we have a choice to make as children of God. Are we going to live according to the Spirit every moment of every day, or are we going to live according to the flesh? It's a choice we have to make every day. We want to be either going towards God every day. If you're not going towards God, you're backing away. God says we're not of them that draw back into perdition. We don't want to be like that, drawn back into eternal death. We want to be closer to Him. Closer to Him as we wait, looking unto Jesus for eternal life someday. It's going to be a glorious day when Jesus comes back and we're all the saints. It'll be amazing when we're in the New Jerusalem. We look over there and there's old Moses walking and we'll know him. My ancestors, they have passed on before me that knew the Lord, yours too. Everybody will know each other as one family, the family of God in the New Jerusalem, in that our heavenly home. What a wonderful thing. Why would we trade a drop of pleasure for an ocean of wrath? It's no good. It's nothing. God is good. Follow Him. Lord, help us all to do that. But those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Notice here in verse 6, he says, to set the mind on the flesh is death. Why is that? Because the wages of sin is death, the Bible tells us. But the gift of God is eternal life. To set the mind on the flesh is death. It sends you towards death. Sin kills us spiritually and it kills us physically. It harms us. God wants us close to Him. He gives us life and life more abundant, the Bible tells us. To set the mind on the flesh is death spiritually. It kills your soul. It's terrible. We need to be fixing our mind on Jesus. Lord, help us. But to set the mind on the Spirit, we got a contrast all throughout here. Flesh or Spirit? What are we going to do? God bids us. How can two walk together except they be in agreement? We can't walk with God except we agree with God in what is right and what is wrong by the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit right here, God's holy Word. We agree with Him. We can draw closer to Him. We want to be like Him, closer to Him. I don't want to be an acquaintance with God. I want to be knowing Him as truly my Father in heaven when we get to heaven. Right here below as we prepare for that day. To set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit, it says, is life and peace. All kinds of people all around us are looking for peace. They're looking for peace in the sins of alcohol, the sins of drug, the sins of the flesh, everything all around here. People's looking for peace in something down here below. They're looking for peace in other religions. They're looking for peace in self-righteousness. People's looking for peace all around us. Children of God that saved are looking for peace that they forfeited by walking in the flesh. He says there, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and is peace. It is life. The Bible says the Word of God is life to our bones. He gives us life. It breathes life, the breath of life in us. Spirit is life and peace. Have you got that peace this morning? The peace that passeth all understanding that can guard our hearts and our minds in the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Savior. Set your mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Trusting in God. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above, sweep over my soul, O Lord, grant it. For this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh, in verse 7, is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. It says, this reason, the mind that is set on the flesh, it's hostile to God. It's an enemy of God. We were all once enemies of God, whether we knew it or not, before we knew Jesus as Savior. We were enemies of Him. We were on the wrong side. And a lot of times we think of this as just a eternal battle. The devil's on one side leading one army and God's on the other side leading the other. And it's just, we hope the Lord wins. That's not how it works. God is God, eternal God, the one that created heaven and earth. The devil, he's a fallen angel that God created. He's a created being. He is not omnipresent. He's not everywhere. He doesn't know all things. He's a created being. Mighty powerful is he, but nothing compared to the power of the Holy Spirit. Nothing compared to God. The devil, as you, as a child of God, the devil can't bid you and force you to do anything. He can knock on your door, try to get you to, but he has no power over the Holy Spirit. If we'll live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit, we don't have to follow the wages of sin. God, help us to do this. For this is the reason the mind is set on the flesh. It's hostile to God. The devil and all his demons are hostile to God. When we walk in the flesh instead of the Spirit, instead of following the Lord, we become hostile to Him. We don't want that. We want to be following Him, submitting to Him, knowing Him. We know Him as Savior. We know Him as our God, our loving Heavenly Father that will show us the way. He's holy. He's righteous. He's God of all things. We don't want to be hostile to Him. Lord, help us. We're His children. It says there, the mind that is set on the flesh, it's first, it's hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law. It will not follow God's law. It won't follow the Word of God because it disregards it. If we're fixing our minds on the ways of the flesh, we will be disregarding the Word of God. Lord, help us not to do that. It says, indeed, it cannot. It can't submit to God's law. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. It says, you can't be pleasing to God. O Enoch, The Bible says he pleased God so well that God took him straight to heaven. The man never died. He went straight to heaven because he spent his life pleasing God, seeking God's ways. The Bible says his ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. When we trust him, when we do things his way, it always is better. It always works out better. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. God is eternal God. He rules all things. We can follow him, trust him. Notice here in verse 9, what's he saying? We see these things here in these few verses that tells us if you walk in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, or if you live in the flesh, it's death. Life and peace is in the Spirit. He tells us what the truth is. And here in verse 9 he says, but you are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. He's talking to the children of God. Me, you, those that saved by the grace of God. Spirit of God's in our heart, resides with us. You are not in the flesh, you are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, if God's Spirit dwells in you this morning, we don't stand hostile to God, not submitting to his law, not pleasing him. We don't stand before that. We stand before him as his children. Let's follow him. Let's please him. Lord, help us walk in the Spirit. But you are not in the flesh. You are in the Spirit. Since the Spirit of God dwells in you, does God's Spirit dwell in you? Praise God. It does if you're saved. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. They're not born again. The Bible says we're to be born again. Except a man be born again, he shall not see God, the Bible tells us. When we're born again in the family of God, we're his children. He's always there to guide us, show us the way, because he loves us. We're his children. Let's follow him and show him love. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. If you don't have the Spirit in you, there's no salvation there. Praise God, when we're saved, that Spirit's right here. Lord, help us. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Though we stood dead before him in this mortal body, we stand alive in him by the Spirit of living God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Though we was once dead, we're now alive. Graveyard dead. We look at this old graveyard over here. These bodies over there, they're dead. There ain't nobody home. They passed away. We too were once that way. We too were all good as dead. But when Jesus saved us, we become alive. And those that rest, that's bones rest in that graveyard over there, if they were saved, their spirits with God, eternally alive with him. And the morning that Jesus comes back out of the eastern sky, we'll all be with him for all eternity. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We'll all be with him, Thessalonians tells us, to live and reign forevermore in his kingdom. He says there, you're in the Spirit. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness, because of his righteousness that he gives to us. By faith in him, we're justified by faith. We're not condemned because we put our faith in him, and we too are sanctified by faith. The only way to walk in the Spirit is to put your faith in Jesus Christ every moment of every day. Every temptation, when we fall to temptation, it's because of a lack of faith, of trust in him. It's because we get on the devil's way, our own sinful flesh's way, instead of God's way. We're not trusting God's way enough. Lord, help us. Lord, increase our faith, the Bible tells us. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If, he says in verse 11, the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. Praise God. The Bible tells us more than once that how was it that Jesus rose from the dead on the third day, on that wonderful Easter morning we celebrate? It was by the Spirit of the living God, it says. We have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the three in one, the Holy Trinity, each acting its own way, but each in unity with one other. One essence, the Bible tells us. One thing together, the Holy Spirit, the Son, and the Father. He says there, if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit raised Jesus from the dead, and he raises us from the dead when we're in spiritual death on the way to hell. If the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he dwells in us because he raised us up. He who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his Spirit that dwells in you, through the Spirit. It's all by the Spirit, living by the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. You know, it's such an amazing thing. We've got the book, the Word of the Living God, to teach us and to show us the way. But the author, the Holy Spirit, is there to teach us as we read it. I remember one time I was reading in the book of the prophet Isaiah. I read something and I said, Lord, I don't have any idea what this means. Help me to understand. And the Holy Spirit helped me. The Holy Spirit will help us to read, understand His Bible, His Word as we study it. He won't leave us to our own devices. He's in our hearts to guide us and show us the way. So he asks us then, If you'll skip down with me to verse 31. What then are we to say about these things? What are we going to do about it? We as the children of God have to ask ourselves. We hear this about walking in the flesh, walking in the spirit. What are we going to do about it? He says there, if God is for us, who is against us? If God is for us, what can man do unto me? What can all the gates of hell do unto us? They can't force us to turn away from God because we're held in the palm of His hand. If God is for us, who is against us? The Spirit of God is more powerful than anything. He who did not withhold His own Son but gave Him up for all of us, will He not with Him also give us everything else? Praise God. He gives us life for all eternity. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? Notice here, this goes right along with verse 1 that says, there is therefore now no condemnation for them who are in Christ Jesus. Who will bring any charge against God's elect? The devil will knock on your door. How can God use you when you've done this and that? How can you claim to know God if you have done this and that? If you list your sins, the devil will do. Well, brothers and sisters, who will bring a charge against God's elect? We're born again, redeemed by the blood of Jesus. If it's repented of, it's under the blood of Jesus. We turn from it. Repentance means turn from sin toward God in faith. Who will bring any charges against God's elect? The devil will try to. He's the accuser of us, the Bible tells us. But we don't stand condemned before God's law. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. God doesn't want us walking around defeated. He wants us to have victory. Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, that hymn tells us. Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Who will bring any charges against God's elect? It is God who justified. God justified all of us when He died on the cross of Calvary and rose again on the third day. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. The Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is on the right hand of God the Father, interceding on behalf. It says we have one great mediator and advocate, only one. We don't go to saints. We don't go to all this around us. We don't have to go to some priest with a temple veil. The temple veil was torn. We go straight to God, the one only mediator and advocate, Jesus Christ, who intercedes for us. We go straight to God by the power of the Holy Spirit. Who will separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress? There's a lot of hardships we'll go through in this life. You'll go through things I won't, and I'll go through things other people won't. There's more hardships than we can list. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship? Will distress? We live in distressing times. Persecution. There's people that's killed every day because they know Jesus is Savior. That may not be the case here yet in the United States. Someday it may very well be, and we see signs of that in some of these places across the country. He says there, or famine, or nakedness. There's places people ain't got nothing to eat. Or nakedness, not having no clothing. Or peril. Perilous times, the Bible says, are at the end of days. I believe we're there. Or sword? Someone fighting against you? Wars? And rumors of wars, as Jesus said. As is written, for your sake, we are all being killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered, just as Christ was, the Lamb of God. And we too, so often, in God's church's history, are counted as sheep to be slaughtered. What's he saying in verse 37? After all these perilous, terrible things, he's saying, are these going to separate us from Christ? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. No matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what the world throws at you, no matter what kind of miry muck this world's got, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us, he says there. Not just conquerors. Conquer something is to get by it. It's took care of. It's gone with. No, we're more than conquerors. We will be better off through the trials of tribulation. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 of the church of Laodicea, Jesus is at that church knocking, begging to come in, begging to come in the hearts of the believers and in their lives. What's he tell them to do? He says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. What happens when you try gold to purify it, to get 24 karat or whatever karat, however they measure that? You get fire to purify it. God will purify us, his children, purge us with trials through this world. Jesus Christ, it says, before he was tempted, he was led there by the power of the Holy Spirit. What's it say afterwards? If you read later in those verses, it says he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The devil can one. He can, you can give in on him, listen to what he has to say, or he can be a sharpening stone, our sword of faith. Every trial, every tribulation, we can draw close to God by looking unto him and not looking unto the ways of sin. Looking unto him, Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. looking to Him in all these things, in the distresses of this life, the hardships, the persecutions, the famine, the nakedness, the peril and the sword, all these terrible things that may come around us, we're more than conquerors through Him who loved us. God loved us. Nothing could separate you from His love. In verse 38, "For I am convinced that neither death," he says, "nor life," if we die, no, "neither life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, not powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." We don't stand condemned before Him. By the blood of Jesus and faith in Him, we stand as His children. And nothing in this world will separate you from God's love for you as His child. Do you know Him as Lord and Savior? None of these things can separate you from the love of God, not just the love of God, that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Praise God. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But we're not separated from God's love by anything. Praise God. Do you know Him this morning? Do you know that love? The peace, the life and peace that He promises to give us. I don't know your heart. Nobody knows one another's heart. But God, our Father in heaven, He knows your heart. He knows the very depths of your soul. And He loves you. He loves all people. The only thing He says, "Your iniquities has put a gap, a bridge, a depth between you and your God." If we allow iniquity in our heart, if we walk in this flesh that He's warning us against, then we're starting to be separated from God. It's nothing that's outwardly done us. God's hand is not shortened that cannot save. It's not shortened that He can't show us love. But our communication with Him is stiffened. It's harder to speak with God if we're further and further away. He bids us, "Come unto Me," that nothing is separating us from His love. Nothing is separating us from His redemption. The sin in our heart makes it harder to speak. Further and further away from Him. God doesn't want that. He's done absolutely everything, the Bible tells us. Everything in the world to redeem us. Everything that you need to go to heaven. To live a spiritual life following Him. Walking in Spirit. Not just any Spirit, but the Holy Spirit. To live in the Holy Spirit and follow Him. Everything you need for that has been given to you as a believer. You have the Word of the living God. You have the Holy Spirit to guide and to show you the way. We have God our Father with us. The Lord thy God is with thee wherever thou goest. So let's all bow our heads and take a moment. He tells us there nothing could separate us from the love of God. Sin separates us from the fellowship of God. He still loves us. Have you got full fellowship with Him? Are you walking in the Spirit? Are you living in the Spirit? Or is it in the ways of the flesh? Take a moment. Reflect on it deeply. In your heart. Just take a moment to speak to you in God. Come to Him by faith. He's always open. His hand is never shortened and it cannot save. He's not willing that any should perish. But all should come to Him. If you don't know Him as Savior, He's standing there bidding you come. If you're not walking in the Spirit, He bids you come to Him. Take a moment and pray to God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You. That there's no condemnation of those who are in You, Lord. That we stand before Your throne, Lord. We stand before Your throne of grace and holiness as righteousness by the blood of Jesus, Lord. We thank You for that free gift of salvation, Lord. It's open to all that we can't earn. We can't buy it, Lord, but we can only accept it by faith. And Lord, help us as Your children to walk in the Spirit, Lord. To live by the Spirit. Though we may be close to You, Lord, and be instruments in Your hands, Lord. Help us all, each and every one of us, Lord, to live to please You, Lord, and to seek to live to please You, and to do things Your way and not our way, Lord. For we know that Your ways are the highest and the best, Lord. And help us all to want what You want, no matter what it is, no matter what it takes, Father God, bring us close to You. Thank You, Father God, for bringing all these people here together, Lord, for allowing us the liberty in Jesus Christ, Lord, to come to You and worship You, and for bringing us here today. Bless each and every person here and all those that couldn't make it, Lord, the sick around us. Give us safe travels as we all return home and go about our days, Lord. Most of all, by the power of the Holy Spirit, help us to be witnesses of Your grace, to show forth Your love and Your truth everywhere we go, knowing that You're with us, and by the Holy Spirit, we can live for You. Thank You, Father God. In the name of Jesus Christ, our one Redeemer, we pray. Amen. Amen. It's been such a tremendous blessing to be here with you in the Lord's house this morning. I praise God for the radio capability that we can still worship together here and assemble as the children of God. May we go in peace, love, and serve the Lord. And I look forward to meeting every one of you and shaking all your hands with this virus where we're having to do this distancing and everything. I look forward to the day where I can meet every one of you personally. If you ever need anything, my phone number is 255-2310. We'll be calling and checking. Most of all, we'll be praying that God keeps us all safe through the pestilence that's before us. God bless you all. We love you in the name of Jesus. Amen.